A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Just when you thought it was safe to actually touch the microphone, you suddenly find, oh, you get that buzz and feedback and so on. Cameron, welcome. Camo, what can we say? We didn't do the pre-show piece with your good self. That's because we were so excited at Emma reading the news, and she did so well. Round of applause for Emma reading the news. Sensational. But we can welcome the midweek drivettes that are Natasha Armstrong. How are you, Natasha?
I'm very well, thank you.
And Kaylee Umfraville. How are you, Kaylee?
I'm good, thank you.
And Holly McGrattan. How are you, Holly?
I'm good. Good afternoon.
Delighted to see you, as indeed we're delighted to hear you, Camo, in the joys of Nashville, where, as you can tell, we're basking in the summer sunshine here in good old Lincoln, where, you know, you can almost fry eggs on the pavement. It's that warm.
There you go.
Yes, it's tremendous. Presumably in Nashville it's similar as well.
No, it's really cold. We had summer last Thursday. See, winters here typically are up and down. You know, it'll get up into the 70s and then gets cold again and then works its way back up and drops down again. And this winter has been no exception, but we're in one of those cold things right now.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Yeah.
A great movie with the George Clooney. Did you ever see Oh, Brother, Where Art You? One of the Coen brothers' classics, Natasha?
I'm afraid not.
Holly?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Kaylee?
I'm sorry, I haven't.
Well, one of the great things about Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou is the soundtrack done by a certain Alison Krauss, which neatly ties in to yourself, Camo.
Yeah, that movie's almost worth it just for the soundtrack. The music's incredible on that. But this has nothing to do with bluegrass. Alison Krauss, of course, got her start in bluegrass, and she's still very much grounded in that. And she's kind of dabbled outside of that. She did that Americana album with Robert Plant called Raising Sand. She's got a brand new album out now. It's been a bunch of years since she's had anything out. And it's called Windy City. And it's such a good album, and it's pure country. She's done remakes of a lot of really classic songs, including Gentle on My Mind and others. Only the way Alison Krauss can do it. She was our Nashville Access Super Pick of the Week last week, and here she is for you right now. This is a cut from Windy City by Alison Krauss. The song is called Dream of Me, and it was originally a hit for Vern Gosden. Check it out.
It's been hard on me and you. Every time we say goodbye, it gets harder to do. But when I'm far away somewhere alone, and the missing you stole, all I thank you.
Off she goes, Alison Krauss, Dream of Me. What did you make of it, Kaylee Emperville?
She really reminded me of Dixie Chicks, which I thought was really nice. Yeah,
Dixie Chicks, Camo. Dixie Chicks.
No.
Oh. No. Okay.
He put you down so strongly there. It's unlike Camo, really. I thought, you know, the kind of Nashville gentleman would come across, but he said no, absolutely.
Not when it comes to the chicks, no.
Okay, fair enough. Natasha.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. She has a look of her, actually, about one of the... just looking at, when we were looking at her website, she looks slightly like the character Raina James in Nashville in the actual series. It just struck me when I saw her photo.
Of course, our regular Nashville correspondent, Tessa, unable to attend because of the options meeting, which is just going on, isn't that right, Hannah? Only kidding, Tessa. We know you're doing all sorts of other things and it'll happen in all sorts of ways, and she's sure she'll return in the second hour of the programme. We've heard that one before. Likewise, Martina. Hannah, what did you make of The Joy of Alison Krauss?
It was a very nice tune. I really enjoyed it. It was quite relaxing and chilled. Great thing for this afternoon to enjoy, especially enjoying all in the sunshine that we've been experiencing today.
And let's face it, in Volume 6 of Sound and Country Vision, you were Camo.
Yeah, I filled in for him. Obviously, it's, you know, it was hard to fill his shoes because obviously...
Boots in many ways, really.
Yeah, he preceded me. I did my best.
Did you put on the accent?
I can't do accents, so I was just me. I was like, you're not going to get Camo. You just got me instead. Disappointment, I'm sure.
And the world sort of managed to cope with the whole thing because, you know, every so often he just steps away and allows the boots to be filled. Holly.
I thought it was a great song for this afternoon. I mean, it is sunny and stuff, so good choice, accidentally, I guess.
A good choice. You find that normally Camo selections are, you know, not up to speed. Of course, you know, it's like a distillery that he kind of constantly, he's going through processes to distill the very finest in country music to actually share with the world. And of course, Nashville Access, which of course you can promote freely and plug for a few moments for now, Camo.
Okay, sure. Nashville Access, we're now on about 64 radio stations in, I think, 19 countries. And it's a weekly one-hour country show right here from Nashville. And we have interviews with major artists. We have top three countdown, Nashville news. And then we do our super pick of the week where we highlight a rising or indie artist. And that's what we feature here every week.
It's just a wonderful thing in its entirety. We didn't have a chance to mention the show menu. Anna Lewis will hopefully be joining us from Jersey in a few moments. Then George Mann, ace author and editor, which indeed you've been reading some of his Doctor Who material as we've been progressing, have we not?
Yes, it's been great. I want to know what happens next.
This is the way forward. That's the great team. George will be joining us. Larry Nemechek talking about the Star Trek franchise. Robin Pierce even, lead critic for Starburst magazine, will be reviewing both Kong, Skull Island, and... Logan, so double whammy that, as well as also talking about the Stone Tape Symposium. And Carl Frantz, I'll say that again, Carl Frantz from Seattle, co-producer of the 50th anniversary of the Prisoner television series, will be making his programme debut, possibly via Skype. Camo, last two questions for your good self, from Holly, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link, Camo?
Yes, it's been good.
And will you be returning next week?
I'll be back again.
When you don't see the why or the wherefore, you walk out on me when we both disagree, 'cause to reason is not what you care for. Take off your...
try to be smart, then you take it to heart. 'Cause it hurts when your ego is deflated. Ooh, you don't realize that it's all compromise, and the problems are so overrated.
Very sage advice, Petula. Anna Lewis in Jersey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
Just thriving, as indeed Gemma Joy, really? One of our contacts and indeed former students, now based up in Gisborough, actually said average temperature 18 degrees centigrade, estimated
wow.
time before one man in Middlesbrough takes his top off, one day. I know, it's a northern thing, don't worry about it. We're in Lincoln now, and quite rightly so too. Earlier this week, you shared a video, which I then went on to share, about the World Youth Conference and the tale of a North Korean refugee, which I'm currently screening for the benefit of the Midrick Drivettes, and the line that was working through that, a child 9 years old, saw a friend's mother publicly executed and so on. Your comments, Anna, with respect to this were spot on in terms of it just makes you show, you see how precious our life actually is. But what first kind of led you to share the tale of the awesome heroism, really, in many ways, of this particular individual?
You look at it particularly because it's a girl. I know it sounds awfully sexist, but I think, you know, since Malala has kind of taken the torch for young women who are standing their ground against pretty repressive regimes, I think this particular girl, noticeable by her pretty good English, and the fact that she was so overcome with emotion, and it was very genuine emotion. It wasn't the sort of thing that the Trumps might sort of adopt to get some sympathy. But I just felt that, because she was a young girl, and you could see from the reactions of the audience the effect that what she'd said had on them. And it's absolutely gutting that man can inflict so much misery and grief in a country where reading Shakespeare is actually forbidden. And yet a friend of mine went to North Korea as part of an exchange and wrote an article. I think it was for The Spectator. His name's Theodore Dalrymple. And I got to know him quite well when he was researching in Jersey. And he said the same thing. He said that the country is vast but empty. And everyone everyone was waving flowers in a very sort of uniform way. And he was at a stadium where a sports activity was taking place. And he said he refused to stand up. Because he was one of the delegates, they didn't sort of do too much. But had he been local, he'd have probably had some punishment inflicted on him. But he did go on to meet a man who surreptitiously said, "I do read Shakespeare, and in Shakespeare, everyone has a voice." And that comment he made about this Korean man saying that was quite a new and refreshing. But he just thinks the regime is absolutely despicable. And, you know, how can you have people paying lip service to someone who's basically a dictator of that type in the period of time that we live in? So, yeah, I could go on about this for hours, I'm afraid. But, yeah. She was very, very, she was very articulate, And also, I felt that she had a story to tell, which obviously the young delegates felt was a noble one. So, yeah.
Hannah.
I'm glad you shared it, by the way.
Thoughts, Hannah, from your own perspective?
Well, I was just watching this now. It's heartbreaking, you know. Just seeing... It's leaving me speechless almost, reading... Well, because we're reading the subtitles, but you can see how she's almost so brave to stand up in front of all these people and, recount her story. It is heartbreaking that this has happened to people. And you think we're so lucky in this life, and people say that all the time, but... I've seen some stuff. I once saw a TED talk with another woman who managed to escape North Korea, and it seems like a world in a movie, this dystopian land, totalitarian regime. It's something we make up to look at as a good story, but it's real, and it's so sad and horrifying at the same time.
And I think where we are as well, you know, young girls of her age have a childhood, and it doesn't seem as if she's had a childhood, and she's been deprived of every jot of humanity and her childhood all in one go. And I think that's young girls here don't value what they've got: freedom of speech, freedom to wear more or less what you like, dress how you like, listen to what music you like. That doesn't exist there. It doesn't.
Nobody deserves to be victimised because of their birthplace. Holly, your thoughts on what you've seen, what you've heard?
Yeah, I'm glad I watched the video. Where is it the youth, what's the event called?
The One Youth.
Where's that held? Do you know?
I don't know, to be quite honest. I should have checked.
Clearly we've actually, but it's...
Oh, yeah, I was just wondering, because it's
courtesy
actually...
of the higher perspective scenario. It's something which, certainly in a world where sometimes you get so many stories coming through, you actually sort of just redress the balance. Natasha, as a journalism final year student, is this a story which you think, yeah, actually this needs to be told?
Yeah, it's really interesting you brought this up, because I remember a couple of months ago they had Panorama did a special documentary on it. I don't know if you saw it, Anna, but...
I think I may have, actually. Yeah. They were being hounded, and they were accused of collaborating with... They were thrown out in the end, weren't they?
Yeah, they sussed that everything that they'd seen had been a setup, and they were basically, have been paid, hadn't they, to act and stuff.
Yeah,
and
some
of the stuff that I saw just really struck me, like as the girl was saying there about, seeing her friend's mum killed for watching a Hollywood film, but it's genuinely like that though. I mean, you're not allowed to watch sitcoms. If you watch any Western TV or anything, then it's crazy just thinking about living like that. And you wonder, it's 2017, how much longer can this go on? Will it sustain? I have a feeling this is going to be around for a number of years, sadly, but, you can't interfere almost.
And Kaylee, thoughts from yourself, from your own perspective?
I agree with Natasha. I just feel like I've got to give it to her to have the courage to go up and say all of that, how she feels, and you want people to support her and help get her voice heard. Otherwise, we can't really help, and we want to do something about it.
Interesting times, and let's hope again that there's no such as wanting will sort of can change things around, and people will realise that actually human beings need to start treating other human beings with respect across the base. A more serious letter from Jersey than we've normally had, but we'll be moving into the Stone Tape Symposium, and George Mann, a Sunday Times best-selling author, comic writer and editor, of course, who'll be making his midweek... Well, actually, no, he has been in the studio before. He has actually, he's not necessarily a midweek drive Pete's debut person, and of course regular on the Stone Tapes. Natasha, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening, Anna?
I certainly have. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. And will you be joining us again on the show next week?
Oh, I think that would be lovely. Thank you.
Dream of information. I wonder if those are secret messages across the Affinity Bridge, the first novel in the Newbery and Hobbes Victorian fantasy series. But then when you've got the Osiris Ritual, the Immortality Engine, the Executioner's Heart, the Casebrook of Newbery and Hobbes, the Revenant Express, and so many other goodies, including, Natasha, what you've currently been reading, the latest Doctor Who adventures online. Yeah. Very occasionally, George Mann finds time to breathe. Breathe, George, breathe.
I'm breathing, don't worry.
Exactly. It's always critical from that perspective. Welcome again to the Midweek Drive. I know you've guested on this slot. Normally you're a Stone Tape's stalwart in many ways, where
Absolutely.
Sam coordinates the things. We go into 1B and produce the magic. This Sunday, the Stone Tapes goes live for the first time in its 2-year broadcasting history.
Yes, it's very exciting. We have a whole day of... got people coming in and doing little segments and conversations.
Yep. We start off, and there's still time if you're listening to this to take part in this, because we're running a little competition as well that's actually going to be there, for which the prize is a fantastic set of headphones worth, I believe, around about £150.
Ooh!
Hey. Exactly. And we'll run that. But the question will actually relate to one of our guests on the programme this evening. Okay, so it might be George, it might be Robin Pierce, it might be Larry Nemechek talking about the Star Trek franchise, it might be Carl Frantz talking about 50 years of the Prisoner television series, convention in Seattle, but it will actually happen. George, you're also going to be sharing a panel at 12:30, together with Sam Stone and Robin Pearson. I'll be hopefully moderating that up to a point. I mean, if you can moderate George and Sam and Robin. It's like animals, it's fantastic. About Doctor Who, the comic book, and more. Reflections on writing both prose and sequential storytelling with respect to Doctor Who. Now, Natasha, you've just been reading some of this. What are your thoughts? And would you like to describe for the listener? Maybe George can identify what story you've actually been reading prior to the show.
Yes, well, it sadly leaves on a bit of a cliffhanger. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to poor Grant. He's just been beaten up.
Absolutely. So you're reading the ghost story?
Yes.
Ah, fantastic. Thank you for reading them.
It's wonderfully illustrated. Do you do all the... I presume you do all the drawings yourself?
No.
I'm a scriptwriter. So I wish I could draw like that, because you're right, they are wonderful. But we've actually had a series of different artists working on that series. It's a follow-on mini-series that kind of continues the adventures of a superhero character and his family that we saw in the TV special at Christmas. And it's an 8-part series, and I think issue 4 is the latest one out at the moment. So we've had a number of different artists come in and do guest on like 2 issues. But one of the things I'm going to be talking about on Sunday, actually, on the panel, is running people through the process of how a comic's put together, from kind of the initial conception and the storyline through the script, and then how that then passes on to the artist, or actually often a series of artists, someone will pencil it, someone else will usually ink it, and then someone else will usually do the colouring, before it then goes on to someone who does lettering. So it's a whole big collaborative process. To put a comic together.
Hannah, as a Whovian,
your
thoughts on the graphic narrative world of Doctor Who and so on, or to use those wonderful 2 words again, issues of which will be available at the event itself, the classic
Vorp. I'm getting worse at that. I'm going to have to practice. It's not working.
Give me more energy. Yeah, the classic
Vorp.
That's better.
That was better. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting there.
There were the hand gestures.
Yeah.
Hand gestures work so well on radio.
Especially radio. Well, now they know there was hand gestures.
Of course.
It's all in the description.
They were great.
It's all in the exposition, as many an audio producer has actually said. Anyway, Hannah, thoughts from yourself or George?
Oh, well, I do love the comics. In some of the Doctor Who magazines, I know they often have it. My younger brother is a big... graphic novel, sort of those comic strips fan. Okay. He has loads of them of different genres. In fact, it's his birthday coming up soon, and I'm still stuck on a birthday gift.
Well,
so George, like, I know he loves graphic novels.
A personally
and he likes
signed
Doctor Who.
George Mann. So that
I was more thinking of a suggestion, but you know, if that's open.
Well, it'll be churlish of me not to suggest the latest 12th Doctor graphic novel, actually, The Twist. Just come out, which is a nice little self-contained set of 5 issues. It's 2 stories over 5 issues.
And that's set straight immediately after Clara left in the TV series. So they were the first stories to feature a new companion. And it's, okay. it's a temporary companion called Hattie. She's a bass player in a punk band from the future. And that's recently come out as a collection, and that's and hopefully people will enjoy that one, and it might be a good present for him.
Yeah, bring along really a couple good. Of copies on Sunday. We make sure that there's sort of
copies. We'll do my best.
Exactly, because again, it also it's great if you like foxes. You know, I won't say any more.
Yes,
but it's great
absolutely.
If you like foxes. Yeah, you do.
It is.
You've got rock bands and foxes.
The perfect combo.
Exactly. It's
just, absolutely.
You know, forget the cat people and the early David Tennant scenario. No, we've moved into foxes in
foxes,
big town.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And creepy houses as well.
Or stop to about a creepy house every now and again.
Exactly.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Holly, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, I love graphic novels, and I have always wanted to get into them, so I think I'm going to get into them properly now.
Chance to meet the stars as well. And Kaylee?
The new assistant sounds really cool. She's in a punk rock band? Mm.
From the future.
Yeah, this is a comic-specific character.
She may not emerge in terms of real time unless Chris Chibnall actually has a dose of sense and says, oh, we must actually feature this as originally sort of developed by George Mann. We must put her into the actual episodes. After all, the precedent was set with Big Finish.
It was. One day,
yeah,
we can hope.
Exactly. I'm still waiting for Frobisher. But anyway, that's another. He was a penguin, you know, a shape-shifting penguin. If you're going to be a penguin, you might as well be a shape-shifting one. That's the important system. Tasha, any other questions you'd like to put to George about life, the universe, Sexton Blake, Sherlock Holmes, or indeed just Drake basically being an all-round wonderful soul?
Cool.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at the detail, actually, that in some of this comics, how long does it actually take to put, I know this is a feature a bit on Sunday, but how long does it take you to roughly put one of these together?
Oh, good question. Well, they're usually on, they're on a monthly schedule, generally, most comics, and they're about 20 to 22 pages, and it will take the whole month, really, for the whole team to do their work. So it takes me probably a week to write, draft, polish a script to the point where it's ready to go to be seen by the artist. Often, in the case with Doctor Who, it needs to go to the BBC for their approval as well to make sure they're happy with what we're doing. And then the artists, I mean, obviously all artists work at different rates, but generally, the artists I've worked with have tended to do about a page of pencils a day. So, you know, it's the best part of the month is in doing the penciling. And in the meantime, behind them, someone's coming along doing the inking, and someone's coming along behind them doing the colouring. So it's a knock-on process. And by the end of the month, you've usually got a panicked editor and a almost finished comic.
Oh, no.
That's often the case.
Have the BBC ever said no to you with a plotline?
Yeah, they're usually very accommodating, and you know, I've worked on Doctor Who for so long now that I can usually navigate where things are going to go. You know, the sort of things they don't want. But where they tend to say no is where you get too close to something that's going to happen in the TV in an upcoming episode. So just before they brought the Time Lords back, I'd submitted an outline for a script that had the Time Lords in, and they came back and said, oh, no, we can't have any mention of the Time Lords at the moment because, we've got a surprise coming. They've recently announced the return of the Mondasian Cybermen, the first original Cybermen, in some publicity shots from the new show. Last year I wanted to do a story with the Mondasian Cybermen, and again they kind of went, can you avoid those for now? And now I know why.
Okay.
So it tends to be those moments where you're just getting a bit close to a future plot and they don't want to kind of foreshadow anything too much. But otherwise, as long as you're avoiding the, you know, you're going to keep within the tone of the show. So if you want to do gory horror, they're probably going to say no. But as long as you're doing something that feels like it could be a Doctor Who episode, they're usually very accommodating, great to work with.
I love the sandbox line that we've talked about in the past that the BBC effectively now use, and indeed it's kind of come across from the States, and I think you describe it so well, George, you might like to just explain for the benefit of our team here and the listener what the sandbox paradigm is all about.
Trying to think what you're referring
to. Well, you've
now.
Got all the toys. You've got all the toys that you can play with of your favourite characters.
Oh, yes, sorry, yes, but? Yes. But everything has to go back in the box at the end.
Exactly.
So, yes, so you can, in a recent comic series, we rewrote the entire timeline of the universe and had Russell on and the Time Lords turned into Cybermen. And the BBC were hugely accommodating about all of that, as long as at the end of it we'd resolved it all and things were back to normal. And that doesn't mean you have to have no consequences, because then obviously the stories start to feel like they're a bit weightless. They have to have consequences, but you also have to make sure that the characters are back to, if not where they were personally on their journey at the end of the story, they have to be, the status quo needs to be kind of re-established.
Don't just press the reset button. That's the important thing. Otherwise...
Yeah, that's exactly it. You've got to have at least the doctor knowing that something's changed.
Exactly. Or, as they said 50 years ago...
You are a born survivor. I am a born killer. We were made for each other. But I fear this is where it must end. Your reflexes cannot save you now.
How true those words were, uttered by Justine Lord, etc. And you know, we'll, 50 years since The Prisoner. George, did The Prisoner ever float your boat as a series, as a Magoon, you know, those 17 shows? I mean, you think of Doctor Who, the world's longest-running continuous science fiction series, Star Trek, all the others. What about The Prisoner?
The Prisoner is something I've dipped into. It's one of those programmes that I've always enjoyed when I've watched, never really understood what was going on because I've never sat and watched it properly. And it's kind of on my hit list of shows to get to and work my way through properly. Just so much Doctor Who, and one
Some
of my big passions is the Avengers, the original Avengers series. And, you know, things that spiral from there, you know, watching other shows, that I've never really kind of clicked with The Prisoner, but I know it's the sort of thing that I will love if I sit and do it properly.
And looking at the Avengers, of course, Big Finish have just done a series of adaptations of the original Diana comic strips of the Avengers and put that into full form. Would you envisage an audio version of some of your classic graphic narratives emerging as well in like 5 decades from now?
Wouldn't that be nice? I'd love to see that happen.
It'll happen. George, of course, who sat on the panel at Comic-Con in San Diego and done all sorts of exciting things about it. Hannah, further questions?
Sorry, my head just got San Diego Comic Con, and I was like, I want to go. Can I come with you next time?
I'm still hoping that I can get a ticket to go this time, but it's a bit of a lottery. You put in for a ticket, and as a professional, and then you have to wait until they announce kind of go, and then you have to be one of the first on the website because they've got a limited amount.
George, you are an official Stone Tapes contributor. You're a Midweek Drive contributor. You can obviously get the tick in the boxes of SFX Magazine and Starburst. There should be no option. You should be begging you to be. That's why we even get into Warner Brothers and the whole DC Universe materials.
One of the most grounding experiences ever was going out to San Diego the first time and thinking, oh, well, I'm here as a professional, and you go up to the front and there's different queues. You have to queue up to collect your pass. And someone said, oh, you didn't show them the ticket when the security people, and they said, oh, join this queue. And you're like, oh, actually, I'm here for a professional badge. And then yes, and so are all these other people. Okay. It's there's a lot of people in comics and the media who go to that convention.
George, ultimately, you just have to use the line, do you not know who... No. Holly, any other thoughts for George?
No, keep up the amazing work.
Thank you very much.
I haven't decided quite as yet who George's official companion will be for Sunday, but it may well be. You know, it could be Hannah, it could be Natasha, it could be Holly.
No, 12:30 might be a bit early. I'll see what I can do.
It's okay.
Is it like a Doctor Who companion?
Pretty much so. Yes, I mean, I think that's it. Except they'll be equipped to actually look after refreshments and, of course, fight off the hordes of Lincolnites who might, descend like ravenous wolves to actually say, "It's
sounds
the
very
George
much
Mann."
Like a companion.
Exactly, and it's all part and parcel of the rich tapestry of life. If you are interested in the Stone Tape Symposium, you can still actually register. We still have a few places that are actually available. It's going to be a great day. Launches on Sunday, March the 19th, the day after the Indie Links Film Festival. So you see, that starts tomorrow. You've got all sorts of Indie Links Film Festival stuff going through there. Darren Scales is doing both, actually. Darren Scales is doing the Indie Links Film Festival, and we get an airing of his sequel to The Drift as well on Sunday. So Darren Scales will be there. Sam Stone will be there. George Mann will be there. Yay! Robin Pierce will be there. Daphne Ashbrook will be there as well. And there's a nice little link here, because obviously, having written about the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, You know, clearly, yeah. Grace Holloway's character needs to reemerge, George, surely. You know?
Indeed. I've in fact written her for a computer game, so, and I've never met Daphne, so that's going to be one of my highlights of the weekend, I think.
And as long as you don't say it to Daphne in a creepy way, oh, I've written about you in a computer game, it'll be okay, honestly. It's just one of those that sometimes you go to Comic-Con events and you think, just step away from that. It's very important. You're coming completely different. Last two questions for George, please. Kaylee.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have very much so.
And will you be joining us another time?
Any time that you would like me to be there.
Well, be precisely every month on the Stone Tapes. And this Saturday, the Stone Tapes... Do you know, a little apology live on air. In the original draft schedule, when I sent the lineup of the Stone Tapes live with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Daphne Ashbrook, Robin Pierce, Patricia H. Ash, I left George off by mistake. I know. Greg,
how could you?
He said... Am I not needed for the actual Stone Tote show? It's,
Well, you know, I'm valiantly offering to give up my seat to someone more worthy.
George, you are there in full force, and I'll be sort of waving signals, and Ryan Jones will be in the studio sort of making sure that everything else is sort of... It'll be fantastic. And if you are interested as a listener in checking out the Stone Tote Symposium, send us a line to studio@sirenonline.co.uk, and details will follow with that. Probably the competition line as well from that point of view. Okay, we know that George will actually return, so that's good. In the second part of the programme, all being well, we'll be speaking to Larry Nemechek over in the States. Robin Pierce, of course, will be joining us. Robin, who, again, we haven't met in person, but he's flying the Starburst flag, and then Carl Frantz. That's it. We're out of here. The news coming up after the Delphonics.